Our great nation loves to measure itself. But when you're talking about poverty, is it sociology you're talking about? Is it psychology you're talking about? A state of mind? Or is it economics? We have a natural rich national ritual of coming up with lines and thresholds that indicates all sorts of trends, break down voting patterns, and trigger various categories of government assistance. Indeed, the U.S. Constitution insists that the USA be something of a statistical narcissist in all of our self-measuring. The census is in the U.S. Constitution. But getting a clear picture of a nation of 300 million people is a challenge, and the question of what is poverty in America is perhaps one of the most challenging categories. For a while now, the federal government has held the poverty line at about, what, $21,750 of income for a family of four.
Yep.
And that's based on a formula, even
very
though it's
basic.
Been adjusted. It goes back to the 1960s. But for some out there, that may seem utterly terrifying, $21,750 per year for a family of four. For others, depending on where you live in the country, it may feel doable. But the Census Bureau yesterday essentially admitted that this number is not terribly meaningful and recommended several alternative measurements of poverty. To explore this challenge and to look at the sociology and economics of the matter is John Logan, professor of sociology at Brown University. John Logan, good morning.
Good morning.
On the face of it, is the idea of defining poverty with a number an absolute absurdity from the perspective of a professor of sociology at Brown?
Well, we recognize that some number has to be used for all of these programs and policy choices, and what seems a little bit absurd is if people believed that number actually meant who was poor and who was not poor.
And, I mean, it's important for governments to have triggers to determine benefits for individuals, but there's almost no number that can address the tone in this woman, Mariah Webster's, voice. Listen.
Well, the economy is just getting worse, but I have gotten a job, so I'm making extra money, and that's helping pay the bills, but everything is just getting more expensive.
This feeling of desperation in this economy right now with so many people thrown out of work could apply to someone who's making $20,000 a year as well as someone who's making $120,000 a year. And so the ability to measure that is really distorted.
Well, there would be a difference between asking who is really poor, and we'd have to agree on what we meant by really poor, but it would have to be something like you can't imagine how they could manage, and people who feel stretched. And I think a lot of people feel stretched a lot of the time, even if they make what some would say is a pretty good salary.
And when we talk about the thrifty food basket formula, which determined the current measure for poverty, you basically take a no-frills idea of a food diet for a week of a family of four, multiply it by three, and you basically get your standard definition. There's a lot more that goes into the basic quality of life, even for someone who's considered poor, correct?
Well, that's for sure. Now, the original idea was not a bad one. In the 1960s, the woman who came up with this way of measuring poverty took a standard good nutrition but very minimal food basket and said, well, how much would it cost? And then there was some data that showed that people spent about a third of their income on food, so she suggested, let's just multiply that number by three, and if you make less than that, then you can't afford, well, among other things, you can't afford a nutritious food intake.
Well, and therefore you're in poverty.
So let's call that poverty.
Let's just fast forward. Is it poverty to not have, for instance, internet access, or is it poverty to not have a certain square footage of space for your family?
Yeah, every country, in fact, has different ideas of what should be considered poverty, and in this country, for example, the issue of food security is one that for a long time that was at the very beginning part of our notion of what poverty would be, when there were images of older people in the 1960s eating dog food because that's all they could afford. So that was very central to the idea of poverty. The question of decent, affordable housing, that is becoming part of our notion of what, if you can't afford that, that would be poor. There's increasingly questions about whether adequate access to health care, from the point of view of individuals, does that mean poverty? So there's a lot of questions here.
Let me ask you, though, what's the importance? Why do we need a definition of poverty? I mean, obviously, there's specific economic triggers. There's the level at which you become eligible for certain social net, social safety nets. There's this level at which you're in one tax bracket and not the other. But as a society, why do we need to know who's in poverty and who is not?
Okay, so aside from the specific program elements of it, behind that, there's a lot of conversation in this country about what are our responsibilities to each other, and at what point should we expect that the public or the government would come in and try to make things easier for some other people? At what point do we say that's just beyond what we can accept, and we've got to do something about that? And so it's part of our culture. We continually are asking this question: who is really in need? And our idea, when we say below the poverty line, that's often what we're actually thinking about: is who deserves, who requires our help, because we just can't. We just can't accept people living below that level.
So the census number and the modification of it is a way of starting the conversation of some of these harder questions of what are our responsibilities to people less fortunate. John Logan is a professor of sociology at Brown University, talking about the importance and the difficulty of measuring poverty in America. Thanks so much, Professor.
Yes, sir.